Let us pause in prayer before receiving God's word. Holy Spirit, source of living water, pour yourself out upon us as we turn to your word. Wash away the distractions that cloud our minds, cleanse the hardness that keeps us from hearing, and refresh our hearts with your truth. May the scriptures open to us as a fountain of grace, and may your spirit cleanse and restore us within. Through Jesus Christ, the word made flesh. Amen. Our first scripture reading is Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 through chapter 13, verse 2. And I will pour out a spirit of compassion and supplication on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that when they look on the one whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him, as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him, as one weeps over a firstborn. On that day, the mourning in Jerusalem will be as great as the mourning of Had Adrimmon in the plain of Mag Idu. The land shall mourn, each family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the Shemites by itself, and their wives by themselves. And all the families that are left, each by itself and their wives by themselves. On the day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. On the day, says the Lord of hosts, I will cut off the names of the idols from the land so that they shall be remembered no more. And also I will remove from the land the prophets and the unclean spirits. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Okay, we're going to continue on in God's word, and I want to invite you to follow along with me. We're in Titus chapter 3, and we're just doing verses 4 through 7, a nice tight little verse here. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, though the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, this Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Thanks be to God for God's holy word this morning. All right, just a moment ago, we were talking about getting dirty and nasty and stinky, and how many of you remembered, as you were doing that, how many of you remembered a time feeling that gross? If you didn't, remember it right now. Remember it right now. I thought of several. One of probably the most intense being the Philmont Trail, where you're hiking every day, and you have two sets of clothes. One you wear and one you carry. And you go back and forth between them day after day, day after day. And I remember on my first trek, we would get to camp and I would immediately, as soon as I did only the absolute necessary things, I had a 2-gallon bag that was my washing machine. And I would immediately take whichever set of clothes I had worn that day, I would pop into my others, I would throw them in that bag. I would fill it up with water anytime we had water available. I'd put a little bit of camp suds in there, close it up, and then I would start doing laundry. Take that thing, and I'd rub it around and scrubbing it around, and you do not want to know what that water looked like. They're like, are you making coffee? No, I'm doing my laundry. And I'd rub and scrub that thing and dump it out and put more in. And I remember when I first did that, the first couple times, and the other folks in the trek with me are like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm doing laundry. I'm like, really? Why would you do that? And then I remember about the fifth day, I think we were on the trail. We get into camp and somebody comes over and goes, hey, how do you do that laundry thing? And they did it. I can remember them putting on their clothes and like, oh my gosh. You're like, this is genius. Why haven't I been doing this for days? Because it's so refreshing, right? When we get clean, it is so refreshing. We know what that's like on the outside. And frankly, most of us know what it's like on the inside too. But unlike being cleansing of the outside, most of us, I would venture a guess, we don't have a habit of trying to cleanse the inside. You know, I get up and I pretty much every day take a shower. During the summer, when I was getting up and I was doing yard work, and then I was sometime later in the day going to the gym, and then I was coming here for work, I had some days that were 3 shower days. You know, it was like back in the shower, you know, because I'd get grimy out in the yard and I'd clean up and I'd go to work and I'd, you know, come home and work out and get grimy at the gym and I'd come home and be like, there are some nights, you've probably done this, like you're really tired and like, you know, I'll just take a shower in the morning. You lay down and you're like, I can't do this. You know, like your legs or your arms touch against you and you're just like, oh. Oh, I can't do this. You get up and you go shower yet again. And we do that. We don't think anything of every day or even in some circumstances multiple times a day cleaning up or showering. We wash our hands all the time. But confession, which is that cleansing of the soul, I don't know about you, but unless I'm really, really intentional about it, I tend to only do that when things get bad enough to where I'm like, man, I kind of stink, you know? like that unaddressed sin or that unaddressed shame gets undeniably bad or something bad happens because of it. And I'm, you know, like forced into a place of recognizing and admitting what's going on. That's no good way to live, right? It's just not a good way to live. So we're going to dive into what it means and what it looks like to confess as a discipline to where we come to God knowing that we have cleansing water available to us all the time in terms of the Spirit. You know, we're blessed, everybody sitting in this room, to have easy access to water, and we can wash and clean any time we want. I have no idea. I almost thought about counting how many taps there are in this building where we can walk in any direction and find multiple sinks where we can turn it on and at an instant have fresh water to drink and refresh ourselves or to wash and clean. It is at hand. And what is striking to me about today's passage when God says, I'm going to provide a fountain, this fountain that's flowing. You know, that was in that corner of the world, a fountain was a pretty luxurious thing to have, I think. You know, most people had to hike somewhere or go down to a well, but the idea of having a fountain like gushing water that God made available was extravagant and luxurious, and that's in the Word of God says, I'm going to provide a fountain that will cleanse you. And as we looked in Titus, what we were seeing is that that's the Holy Spirit, that we can see in the Old Testament when we look closely at the language, and it talks about on that day, that kind of telegraphs ahead, and then when they talk about beholding the one who is pierced, it also makes our brains like just immediately go to Christ. And it talks about that event that on that day happening in Jerusalem, it clearly seems to be foreshadowing the gift of Christ. And then Titus nails it down even further by talking about Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit as something to cleanse us. And the thing is, it's available all the time. You know, like we have ready access to turn to God at any time. And why do we not have a habit of coming to God for that internal cleansing that feels so, so good. It is so relieving of guilt or shame. Like, lingering in it can be really painful. One of my earliest memories of carrying guilt or shame was in elementary school. And we had a playground that backed up to a neighborhood. And some other kids and I found that if we threw really hard, we could throw rocks from the playground into the neighbor's pond. And we did that and thought that was great fun. And the bigger the rock, the more fun it was, right? Big old splash. Psh, psh, psh. The neighbor didn't think it was as fun as we did and called the school and called us out. And I don't know how they identified us, but they identified us. And I got called out of the class. And you need to remember this story. It's the one time I got caught, you know? I was going to say it's the one time I got in trouble. It was the one time I got in trouble because it was the one time I got caught. But we're throwing rocks. And I just remember when they came, they sent somebody down from the office and told the teacher, we need Johnny and, actually, a little secret, my nickname when I was in elementary school was Piggy. We need Piggy. Y'all are like, Piggy, where'd that come from? Those of you of a certain age will remember there was a TV show called Green Acres, and there was a pig. What was his name? Arnold. Hence, I was Piggy. And they called Piggy, Piggy, and I don't remember who the other kids were. They said, you need to go to the office, and it was not right then. It was later in the day. That was the worst thing ever, right? Like, if they came in the room and beaten me, it would have been better than waiting to see what was going to happen. And when we carry that shame or guilt or fear, it just burdens us. And how often are we doing that? And I think how often are we doing it and we don't really recognize or realize it because we're not taking time to slow down and do some kind of self-examination. I mean, I think sometimes we internally feel something's not right, but we haven't put together why much later or until we take time for self-reflection, self-examination. And confession, when we come to confess, that's going in and turning on the water and stepping under the flow of the Holy Spirit. Stepping under the flow of grace and of mercy, and confession is going in and going, I know it's right here, I just need it right down. Turning taps full on open. I would encourage you to begin to figure out a way for you have that, if not already, as a regular part of your prayer life, where you slow down, and in the midst of all the thank yous and the God, can you do this? In the midst of all that, slow down and say, God, and I'm going to use David's words, search my heart, O God. Search my heart, O God. When you do it, don't do it on your own. Do it with God. Search my heart, O God. Now, I mentioned a moment ago in the children's time that confession, it's not really telling God about our sins. That's a little bit of an overstatement. It's not that we're informing God, is what I was getting at, because it's not like God doesn't know, right? God's fully aware, God sees, God knows what's going on. As I was researching this sermon, I ran across a quote that said, when we confess, we're not informing God of our sin, we're agreeing with God that it's sinful. And I don't know about you, but that kind of hits me differently to realize that when I take time to confess it, God already knows, but we're entering into agreement with God that this is wrong. And I just ran across that yesterday and this morning, attempting to practice what I preach. That's always a really good thing for preachers to do. You know? I thought, I'm going to take time for confession this morning. But what I did, I changed it up a little bit. when I recognized things, I said, God, I'm coming into agreement with you that this is wrong. And that landed very differently for me than just saying, this is what's going on. God, I'm entering into agreement with you that this is wrong. And now at that point, I feel a very different level of accountability. I would just encourage you to try that. It's hard for me to put words to the shift that happened for me. And if you do try it, maybe you can go, okay, this is how I experienced that, so we can find words for it. But coming into agreement with God that this is wrong lands very differently. And I feel a different level of accountability to do something about it, to actually, truly do something about it and not be, oh, God, I did this and it's wrong, and be dismissive. Not that that's how I always roll, but I think we can be a little bit too flippant sometimes in recognizing what's going on and what's wrong. So we need to take time to self-examine, do that with God. We need to take time to do it regularly as a routine, just like when we wash and we bathe, that we do it regularly. Or if that metaphor doesn't work for you, changing the oil in your car, cleaning up what's on the inside of your car by changing your oil. I know two different people who were young and new car owners and failed to change their oil and literally ruined their car. The engine locked up on them. And the thing is, I know there had to be lots of warning signs. There was probably a light that came on and was on for a while. Maybe quite a while. I've had a car that was low on oil because it was leaking. And it tells you, not just with lights, like it talks to you. You get pings and dings, and then those pings and dings can turn into knocks. And at that point, you're in big trouble. The engine will literally just lock up and seize up. And it's really important to constantly practice a state of mindfulness of where we are in our relationship with God, because what happens is we get the warning signs, we get the light, we maybe hear the knocks and the pings, but it's all too easy to say, I'll deal with that later. I'll deal with that later. And I have a friend of mine who says, later is already taken. That's a good maxim to live by. Later is already taken. Because the longer we wait, the worse the damage becomes. So why would we not, just the way we maintain our cars, just the way we maintain our bodies, why would we not maintain our spirit when what we need to maintain it is always at hand, right here, right now? So I'm just going to leave it at that this morning. I want to encourage you to figure out, how can I put in my life a discipline, a routine, just like washing? How can I put in my life a discipline of saying, God, search me and let me know what I've done wrong. Search my heart, oh God. And then say, God, I see that. And you know what? You're right. I agree with you. That's wrong. Let's do something about it. And the good news is when I say let's do something about it, it's more just receiving what God's done about it. It's not about work. You know, if we go back at Titus, it talks about it comes as grace, not by our works of righteousness. It's a gift. We just receive it. We just receive it. Praise be to God that we have a God that wants to cleanse us so that we're free of that stuff. We can live in a place of joy and freedom. Amen.